Are you tired of working with generic IT providers that rely on you to be the expert? Arc IT goes beyond just fixing your tech headaches. They specialize in proactive IT management, BIM support, and data security for architecture firms. The team at Arc IT gets your tech so you can focus on doing your best work. Whether you're a small firm of 10 or a growing practice with 50 or more employees, unleash the full potential of your creative vision with Arc IT. Visit getarcit.com and schedule your free IT assessment today. This episode of Spaces Podcasts is supported by Infratech. Bring indoor comfort to outdoor living with Infratech comfort heaters. Hello, my name is Demetrius. This is Jason.
Good morning.
And you are listening to Spaces Podcasts Express. Thank you for coming back, everybody. Jason, we were just talking about our weekends and you trying to kill yourself while you're working out.
Never lifting with a spotter.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the smartest, but so far it's worked.
That's crazy. So we went hiking, me and my wife went hiking, and one of the interesting things that when we went sort of during the height of the, not the height, but during the pandemic, while things were still shut down, we would still go out hiking and stuff because you're outdoors and not really around people. But there were a lot of people at the hiking trails at that time. A lot of people outdoors. Park near us was always jam-packed full of people. And we went to our normal hiking spot.
Which is where?
What is it called? Bomber Canyon. It's not too far from us.
Okay.
Pull in. Usually we never get a spot pulled up. And there was like four spots open. It's a little tiny parking lot with like only 12 spots available. Usually never open. And pulled in and it was actually available. So we got a spot. Walking around, there's like no one. It seems that now that things have opened up, people just don't go outdoors anymore. Hmm. So I was like, oh, that's kind of a bummer about the difference between while COVID was going on, people were getting outdoors, hiking, biking, doing all this healthy activity. And now that it's not, people are, I assume, hanging out with friends, going to brunch and all the unhealthy things.
No, it's funny. I think I'll probably say this for the rest of my life. Like I will miss the non-dense and wide open freeways and such that COVID brought.
Yeah. Right?
From a traveling perspective, from a driving perspective, like it was amazing. Right. And it's sad though, because I think you're totally right. Like the moment you have the air conditioning and the shopping and everything back more or less open again, you know, that's where people spend their time. And it's such a bummer, you know, from that regard.
Yeah.
But there's a reason why our nation's pretty obese. You know
what I mean? That is for sure. All right. Today we're going to chat about clients ghosting you. Mm. I had this is probably the second time. I'm in the middle of it, so I don't know how this is going to go, but I have reached out to a client a couple times after sending them updated drawings and nothing. And it's happened before where in the middle of schematic design, a client just disappeared, didn't respond to anything. And I was like, I got to move on. So we're going to chat a little bit about that today. But before we do, quick nod to our sponsor. In the last few years, premium outdoor spaces have become a must-have architectural feature, and Infratech outdoor electric heating systems have become the brand of choice among leading architects. Infratech heaters provide energy-efficient, ambient warmth that allows homeowners to live outdoors during cooler months. Clients love them because they can enjoy 100 more nights a year outside. Architects love them because of the unparalleled versatility, from heater capacities and colors to mounting options that can either seamlessly disappear or accentuate a space with beautiful decorative coverings. They're also the only comfort heating company to offer smart home integration and hands-free voice-activated control. For over 60 years, Infratek has made their products in the USA at competitive prices. They offer incredible design and live technical support at every stage of a job. Infratek is specified at the world's most prestigious properties. Learn why and sign up for a free consultation at infratek-usa.com/podcasts. All right. And Jason, we mentioned this before about Infratek, their units, zero noise, odor, or greenhouse gases. We talked about the odor before, but the noise is also that clicking and you just hear it ramping up to turn on.
Yep.
So no noise on these units.
And you can even hear it burning too. That's the funny thing. My in-laws have a unit, which is great, to be honest with you. Like, it throws pretty good heat, but you just hear it. Mm-hmm. It sounds to me like one of those like bug zappers that the bug hasn't hit yet. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I mean, it works, you know, but this sounds like, you know, much better technology, because it definitely has that like hum or that, whatever that noise is on all the traditional units I've seen.
Yeah.
Experienced.
Yeah. So if you want to avoid the, that hum, that noise, that sound of bugs dying, check out Infratek and link in our show notes. All right. So getting back to the conversation on clients ghosting you. So I was looking at some articles trying to figure out, how do you resolve this? So like I mentioned, the most recent clients, we were probably in our third round or so of review. And all of a sudden it was just like dropped off.
For how long?
So it's probably been about a month now. I've sent a couple follow-ups like every 2 weeks or so, just to give them some more time. Because right now it's, coming down to holidays. The end of the year, holidays, and, like, figure people are busy. So I try to give a little bit of a window to just not be too overbearing, and we'll see. So looked up some solutions and some reasons of what other people think. In this article, they have 7 reasons why clients will ghost you and what to do about it. So number one, they didn't hear from you.
That seems kind of obvious, right?
Yeah.
If you want to talk to somebody, you should probably let them know.
Yeah. So basically, if they reach out to you, give a response in a good time frame. Don't wait too long. That's pretty clear and obvious.
What do you think that timeline should be? I think, in all fairness, it should be about 12 to 24 hours max.
Yeah. So I think
at least something like, I got it. You know what I mean? Or whatever.
Yeah. I think a good, you know, it can be difficult, but a good window is 24 hours max to give some sort of response of just to confirm that you received it, the request, and let them know that you're going to follow up in a couple of days with whatever it is.
Bingo. And I think that's the one thing I see people fail on. Like, even if you don't, like, let's say you say, hey, I got it, I'll work on it, I'll get back to you in a couple of days. Mm-hmm. If you're not done or something else runs into it or whatever, in that couple of days, be like, hey, I know I promised this to you. I'm still working on it. Something came up. Give me another 24 hours or whatever, you know, just so they don't feel like you're ghosting them or like, especially if you're out dealing with their business, it's not like they feel like they're no big deal to you. Like, you can just brush them off. I think that's a massive mistake a lot of people still make.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Number two, they're busy. It's easy to forget that clients are human beings and not always available. So if they don't return phone calls, chances are they're busy with something else. It's kind of to what I was alluding at this time of the year. People are busy. So,
by the way, I don't subscribe to that. I think it's garbage. Okay. I don't understand. I'm not going to say never, but I want to say never because I take it that seriously. You send me an email or a text or a phone call or whatever, I'm going to respond to you inside of 24 hours. Like, I will absolutely do that. And I don't even care if that's a vendor of ours, like a partner of ours, a client of ours, another teammate of ours. Like, that will never happen. Like, I just don't subscribe to that. That's garbage.
Yeah.
You know, anyway.
And then it's just that doesn't mean you should give up. Instead, send a message to ask if you can help. So basically kind of what I'm doing is just following up to say, you know, do you have any questions that I can help with, or just to try to help usher them along.
That's a nice way of saying, hey, jackass, here's, you know, I haven't heard from you.
Your words, not mine.
Entirely my words.
Number three, they don't need anything. So this is kind of a different scenario. Number four, they've lost confidence in you. And this is particularly for a architect or design person. I guess it's a little bit different, but I'm sure you guys feel some sort of way on this one. But that fear of like, God, I might have screwed something up, or they're just not happy with my work or whatever. And I'm going through that mental angst right now too, of like, God, did I do something wrong? Do they just not like how I design, or, you know, that whole thing? How do you experience this one on a field side?
Well, I mean, if you look at it from a field perspective, you know, there's that old adage that generally no news is good news. You know what I mean? So from an operation side, if you're not hearing from people, that's actually a good thing. Even though you wish they would like check in and be like, hey, what's up? What's up? You know, like that kind of thing. But when I am handling like the account management side of it, I don't like when I don't get responses. You know what I mean? I'm not generally just reaching out and be like, hey, you know, that's not really what I do.
Yeah.
And that's why I would also argue with you that I'm not a typical salesperson, you know, because I think they do a lot more of that. And when I don't get response to something I need, I don't badger people. And this is something else. I do goofy stuff, right? That draws attention. You know what I mean? Like, I remember, you know, a while ago, I really needed to get an answer from a designer that would allow us to finish up some models or something like that. And they were probably super busy, and we have a wonderful relationship. Like, it's none of that kind of stuff. So I sent them a text, you know, like in the morning, instead of like an email or whatever, because it's more personal. I was like, hey, I need some responses on this stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And a couple hours went by and I didn't get anything. Now, granted, this was somewhat time sensitive. Mm-hmm. So I think I literally, instead of just being like, yo, where are you at? I think the next text I sent was knock, knock, like a knock, knock joke. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so they look at it and they go, who's there? And I wrote back, where's my specs? You know what I mean? Like literally like one of those kind of things. And so, you know, and that's, you know, that's a relationship I've had with somebody for a long, long time. But at the same point, I do uncharacteristic stuff like that consistently, because you have to imagine, right? When someone sits here and says, oh, they must be busy, which means they have 200 emails that all sound the same, that all appear the same, and all, they have some fun with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I've thrown random headlines out there and they're like, what? And yeah. I'm just like, oh, cool. I got your attention. Here's what I need. You know what I mean? And they've learned to expect that from me. And even when going after new accounts, I do very uncharacteristic stuff.
Yeah.
It's like the resume. How do you make your resume stand out? Right. Like all that stuff. And it also fits my personality. So it doesn't seem like it's completely out of left field. Right. Mm-hmm. So that's how I tend to go after things. I do things that are very out. I don't want to say never in bad taste, but I wouldn't necessarily say quote unquote professional, which if we can get into that term at some point, I would love it, because I think it's the most overabused term ever. But I think that's what it takes. You know what I mean? Whether you're selling a product, whether you're selling yourself, whether you're trying to get something else, I think you need to separate yourself from the herd somehow.
Yeah.
So that's how I tend to get responses a little bit quicker.
You know what I mean? That's an interesting approach.
Hey, it works too. Like, it's really funny because I can't ignore you at that point. Like, it's not possible, you know?
Yeah. And in reference to that, they've lost confidence in you. This writer suggests just kind of looking back on the relationship and what you've promised, and just make sure that you've delivered everything. If not, make sure to send a follow-up with anything that you may have missed, and basically just let them know that they can count on you in the future if that's the situation. Number five, they're not interested.
That's a sales portion.
Yeah, so this is more sales. And I'll jump ahead a little bit to combine it, because I think this all sort of ties together. Number six, it's bad timing. I think homeowners in particular, but clients in general, can want to start a project and, you know, all of a sudden other things start happening, you know, with the economy, COVID, all these other things. And all of a sudden it's like, you know what, this is not a good time. Mm-hmm. And I'm not interested in pursuing this or continuing this right now. Mm-hmm. The bummer is when they don't tell you and they just don't respond.
They don't want to say it. Yeah, they're embarrassed to some degree and don't want to say it.
Yeah, so if we have any homeowners, building owners, anyone that falls under the client window, do your your service provider a favor and just let them know, because they are running a business and they need to know in order to plan out their future jobs of whether they are going to be working on your project or not, so they can move on to the next one or adjust as necessary.
You know, I think the other thing you can do in that situation is, if you're that individual or you're that contractor, whatever you're dealing with, and I've done this in the past, you know, I've literally sent someone to say like, hey, it seems like, you know, we haven't really moved too far forward on what we were talking about, which is totally fine. I just want to know if we're planning on moving forward on this, because if not, I need to slot this differently. You know what I mean? I have other jobs that I can replace it with or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm holding this space for you, but I don't want, you know, but it's okay if we don't, you know what I mean? Like I always tell team members when I'm training them to is give people an out.
Yeah.
Make it easy for them to communicate with you in what could be a hard situation. So instead of them having to come back and be like, look, I just can't move forward because I lost my job. It's like, oh, you know what? Yeah. We're postponing it. I'll let you know. Great. Yeah. You know what I mean? And it makes it very, very simple. Just like I said, make it easy for people to pay you. Like I took it's the first time I took a credit card on a job I did the other day. And I was like, you know, make it easy. And it cost me $40 on a $1,500 charge. And I'm like, which wasn't the end of the world, but I'm like, man, it's $40. Right.
Yeah.
but I got the money instantaneously and it was easy for them to pay for it. And then they don't have to stress about whatever. So, there, you know, there's things to weigh as you're doing these types of things, but give people an out. If you provide them, not just say like, hey, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. Give some kind of direction, make it easy for people to answer somewhat yes or no.
Yeah.
And that way you can usually get that.
Well, the problem that I'll push back on that, though, is sometimes if you give them an out, they'll take it and you don't necessarily want that.
Well, if you don't want it, that's something different, right? Yeah. But I would argue with you, if you don't want it, but they're not planning on doing it, what does it matter if you want it or not, right? Yeah. And so I'm more of the mindset of like, I would just rather know, because I can plan alternatively.
True.
And I don't want to keep chasing something. So look, if they're ghosting you, which is the title of what we're talking about, bro, they don't want you. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's a really, it would mean to me, there's a extremely high possibility that there's something else going on that doesn't include you at that point. Right.
Yeah.
So instead of dwelling on it, instead of doing whatever, I would tend to turn myself to, okay, hopefully you have other stuff you can slot. But I think you'd rather know now so you can start chasing that, so you're not knowing a month later or whatever. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like in business, it's you gotta shut it down and move on. You know what I mean? And you're gonna have to do that all the time. So the sooner you know that, I think you can make decisions alternatively much faster, obviously. Mm-hmm. And you may not like the decisions you have to make, but at least you can, as opposed to waiting in the wings, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And then I do want to add on to that, because it's not always in the middle of a project that a client can ghost you, which I think kind of goes back to the sort of the sales items. Even in the proposal phase, they can ghost you in the middle of that process too. And to your point, you know, some of the reasons are they don't see the value, they don't have the money, it's too much work for them, you're too expensive, or they end up, you know, just being able to live with whatever situation that they currently have. And it's, again, not good timing. So one of the tips that they give as far as they're not interested is maybe changing your approach on communication and approaching it at a different angle. Mm-hmm. Kind of maybe to your point of mm-hmm. surprising them with a knock knock joke.
I mean, come on, someone says that, you might look at it like, what? And you know you're gonna respond because you're gonna
have to answer.
Yeah. Like, what are you talking about?
And number 7 was, you're pushing too hard. So just kind of overwhelming them, sending them too many emails and whatnot.
To where they just get this like distaste whenever they see your name, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's overbearing.
Yeah. And the solution, easy solution, is try not to barrage your clients with requests and overload
them. Simple.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's pretty straightforward. So I think overall, there's a lot that from a service provider's perspective that we can do to address a lot of this, but there's a lot of onus on a client's side to understand that this is a business relationship. The person is trying to run a business. So just, it's helpful to just respond through the proposal process. Even just like, if it's too expensive, it's too expensive, and to let them know and give the service provider an opportunity to come down on their costs. that whole conversation is a little bit of a dance in itself of, we talked about this earlier of, you know, they're trying to get it as low as they can and you're trying to get as much as you can to cover your costs, and both understand that there's going to be a little bit of back and forth, but not to just outright dismiss somebody off of the first number that you see and to never respond, because it just leaves you dangling in the wind and you're just like, okay, I have no idea what I did wrong, if a number was too high, if they just found someone for whatever reason, or if the job stopped altogether.
Well, I think that comes back to the same thing as if they value you or not, right? Mm-hmm. So I have one client in particular that we used to work with, we're trying to get back into. Mm-hmm. And by trying, I would say we're going through the paces again. And really it's by them prodding and saying, hey, we'd like you to start bidding on stuff again, right? Because we basically did one of these and just kind of stiff-armed them, and we're like, we're done. Because they didn't see our value prop the same way we did, right? Mm-hmm. And it became all about pricing. And that's okay. You know what I mean? And I don't really have a problem with that. Because they stated that you need to be the lowest price. And so I was like, okay, well, we're not going to be the lowest price. Like, it's, you know, that's cool. Like, it's fine. Right. So to my point, just tell me so I can go slot other stuff. Right. Yeah. And so we stopped bidding with them. And then finally they're like, hey, we'd really like you guys to start bidding. Well, the reason why is because in these scenarios, all the guys that were lowest price aren't performing. They were used to the performance that we provided. And so they brought us back in for this one big meeting, and one of my GM and I were in there, and we were having this whole, you know, we'd really like you guys to come back on our jobs. And that is a construction and purchasing, right? Come back on our jobs. And I'm like, yeah, we'd love the same.
Yeah.
And then they're like, national purchasing guys, like, but you need to be the lowest price. And I said, well, then our meeting's over. I'm like, cause it's not, you know, it's not going to be that way. And he's like, well, we really think. I'm like, no offense. You don't get to tell me how to do my business.
Yeah.
I know my numbers. I know what it takes to run our business. Clearly your team's in here like rooting for us, which means whoever you've been using in the past isn't performing.
Yeah.
I'm like, and so you're going to tell me that you want everything we provide, which is superior performance, superior product, at the same price as the guys that couldn't get it done?
Yeah.
Well, I go, no, that's what you're saying. I'm like, and I'm not going to devalue the work that this guy does that was sitting next to me and the work that our team does. Mm-hmm. Because clearly what we're doing works.
Yeah.
And clearly your team liked it. So you can't play both. And I said, you can try, but I'm not going to play with that. Like, I won't be in that game. And it was actually, it was very interesting because it was very contentious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? Yeah. I'm just telling you, we're not going to do it if that's what you want. Don't try and convince me otherwise, you know? And I was like, and I think I literally got to the point. I'm like, so you're telling me if we're a penny more, a penny, you're not going to give us a job? Nope. I'm like, well, cool. At least we understand where each other's at. We won't be bidding your jobs, you know? Well, I'm done. I'm not going around and around. My answer's not going to change. It doesn't sound like yours. Why do you want to waste your time and my time? Like, who cares? Go bid with these other guys that don't work. It's fine.
Yeah.
But you have to learn that. And you have to, you know, it's really trying to define which are the customers of yours and the clients of yours that value what you do, to your point, the value proposition, and which ones don't. You know what I mean? And even the ones that value you, sometimes they'll come back and be like, hey, I really need some help here. Okay, cool. Let me see. I can do X, X, and X. Will that work for you? Great. You know, and on the next one, they'll let me capture a couple more back or whatever it is. Those are the partnerships you want.
Yeah.
But that's open, honest. That's responding, always getting back to people, you know, performing, right?
Yeah.
And that's gained over time. But yeah, you have to know what type of stuff you're going after.
Yeah. And then I do want to squeeze in a couple bonus ones just because I came across these that were good too. On the why they ghosted you side, they lost enthusiasm, which is a huge one. If the project, for whatever reason, a lot of different reasons why this can happen, but if a project goes on too long, a client can just be like, you know what, I'm done with this. This is just
no mas.
Not what I thought it was going to be. And then they can move on. And then on the how to resolve, that I think is a good one to point out, resolve the ghosting, particularly with nowadays, it's our generation and below has a hard time picking up the phone. So try to get them on the phone rather than sending emails is another solution that I think you're shaking your head.
Good luck. I mean, how many times do you really want to, you and I talked on the phone the other day because I know you and it was a good topic, right? Mm-hmm. But I will have these massive text conversations with people, which is the most annoying thing to me personally, but people just don't want to talk to people. Like they want to text and they want to email. And I think there's, you know, with the email stuff, you know, I don't necessarily discount that because I think there's a little bit of CYA that goes to that as well, you know. And if I have a conversation with somebody, I will send an email recap as far as what we're going to do. But people want to text and email. And so from a business perspective, it's actually pretty easy because you can just go right back to it and be like, this is what you said. Or careful, they're like, this is what you said. You know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. And you're like, ah, crap, you know. But I don't think people are going to talk on the phone that much. They do want to get together in person these days, though. That's the one thing I would tell you. There's a desire, because we talked about COVID stuff before. There's a big desire, at least in how I've seen it, for people to get together. And they want the interaction face to face and whatever. So you have to mosey through the line and around the restrictions a little bit. But it's an opportunity for people that are not shy of that to get a foot ahead of almost anybody, because I can get a whole lot more out of somebody in person than I can via text or email or even a phone call, you know. So I've seen that a lot.
Well, I think in this case of ghosting, I think people are much more, you know, there's an emotional human side to it when they hear your voice, even if they don't answer and you leave a voicemail. There's much more of a connection to hear a voice rather than just seeing text, because you can easily dismiss that, or it just gets lost in the bin if you are busy. But a voicemail has an elevated level of connection if you're trying to re-engage with someone, that I think can be beneficial.
I hate voicemail. Like I don't even listen to them. So like I get frustrated now. I have an iPhone. I don't remember if you do or not, but like it like transcribes a voicemail for you. Like when you click into the voicemail to look at it. And if it doesn't do that, I'm furious because I don't even like listening to it, because 9 times out of 10 you have to listen to the voicemail and it's like, well, call me. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, I don't, it'd be interesting to know where people are at on that. But the other thing that I like in a business sense, again, I prefer to be face to face, but when someone's firing questions at you via text and email and all that kind of stuff, it gives you a moment to catch a breather. So for people that are maybe not as confident there in whatever they're dealing with, you can actually like look something up real quick, or you know, whatever the deal is, be like, hey, I'm in a meeting, I'll call you back in 5, or you know, whatever that is. So it's created different opportunities, I think, for people to be able to handle a situation. But I hate voicemail. I won't leave them. Like I'll tell people, like if I call them and they don't like, because that's my opinion, I'll just text them, be like, hey, I tried to call you, didn't catch you. Give me a shout when you get a chance, you know, like that kind of thing or whatever. Here's what I want to talk to you about. You know what I mean? That kind of stuff. So it's funny that you say that, because I want like the polar opposite of
You're the one that I have an issue with.
probably in more ways than one, most likely. We already know that though.
All right. Thank you for the conversation, Jason. Thank you to the listeners for listening. We will talk again on Thursday. Thanks. Thanks again for listening. Don't forget to check out our sponsors. By checking them out and supporting them, you help us keep this show going. Thank you to Infratech Outdoor Comfort Heating for their support of this episode of Spaces Podcasts. Visit Infratech-USA.com/podcast to sign up for a free consultation and learn why Infratech is the choice for bringing indoor comfort to outdoor living. Spaces is part of the Gable Media Network. You can check out similar content at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com. If you enjoy our show, you can support us in 3 simple ways for free. You can leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or on your podcast app if it allows you to. Tell a friend and follow us on social media. Thanks for spending time with us. Talk soon. Thank you.
Calling all AEC professionals. Get ready for unparalleled professional insights with detailed and original podcasts by RCAT. This is the podcast that brings you the untold stories and lessons learned behind the design and delivery of a building project. Hey, it's Charisse Lakeside, aka the CSI Kraken, and your host. Join me as we dive deep into the tales of conflict, triumph, and sheer ingenuity.
Yeah, so when Serena was named for the, it was going to be named for the building, you know, we really were able to work with teams at Nike Branding and how to really infuse her influence and identity in the very public spaces.
Detailed features architects, engineers, builders, and manufacturers who spill the beans on the most complex, interesting, and downright odd building conditions they've encountered.
Another challenge of the shuttle is actually putting it in launch position is how you brace that seismically. It's really supported by only two pins at the base of the booster rockets. And there's a large base isolator that's underneath the shuttle that kind of prevents it from moving too much in an earthquake.
When you have 600 people or 300 people in a room, acoustically, you really need a high floor to floor so that you can have the right acoustic environment for people to be able to talk and that speech intelligibility is really good.
Every episode unveils lessons learned and connects you to the products you need to navigate similar challenges. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Detailed today and be prepared for the unexpected on your next project. Every building has a story, and we are here to tell it.